during this service, Lord. Not my words, your words. Lord God, I just pray that as I open up my mouth, you fill it with clarity and joy. And the Holy Spirit, we just release you in full power. Be glorified today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We are talking about Holy Spirit part two, untying tongues. And I'll tell you, this is a really good one to take notes on. And we had some technical issues, but we have found the original message, if not on Facebook. I actually had a similar one. It was a little bit longer from a couple years ago. But it's really good to review because a lot of people have tons of questions on the Holy Spirit. How many of you, just yourself alone, have questions? And how many people have been asked questions? Especially about tongues. A lot of people, when you say Holy Spirit, they're going, what about this whole tongues thing? And so we are untying tongues today. And go ahead and write down, and I encourage you to study. I give a lot of scripture, especially today. There is a ton of scripture. Okay? So Acts chapter 1 and 2. Dig into it. Read everything in context. How many know you got to read everything in context? Did you know when it was originally written, they didn't have the numbers in it? So it was actually supposed to flow together. So I'd read a couple verses before and a couple verses after each chapter. Don't just stop there. It was meant to flow together. So write down Acts chapter 1 and 2. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 12, and chapter 13. So once again, that's Acts chapters 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 12, and chapter 14. Praise God. So we're talking about untying tongues because for some reason, everybody just put your hands on your brain right now and go, this thing up here. Well, you don't have to say it. Sorry, you can just do this. That's okay. This is great. Man, Simon Says, I'm kidding. Okay, so this thing up here, for some reason, gets really tied up in knots over the manifestation of tongues for some reason. But good thing we don't live up here, right? Where do we live? We live from our spirit down here, and the Holy Spirit will reveal the truth, and we're going to open up the word. You know, I would say this, a lot of us, we say that we want all of God that we can get, right? We say that as long as I can look dignified and cool the entire time, right? So it's funny, ask some of my youth leaders, especially Nevin, because he'll lead worship. Anytime I see the Holy Spirit just start moving, I cry like a disgusting, like snot pours out of my face. Like, I mean, it's gross. Like, you guys have seen me, right? Like, I cry and like little snot strings, like I'm laughing, I'm going, all right, Lord, that's okay. Because sometimes he's just going to humble you, because not all the time. How many people are not a pretty crier? I am not a pretty crier, and that's okay. But so sometimes we say we want all of God that we can get, but we want it in our dignified, controlled terms. God, move in my life, move in my family, but I need it to look like this and on this particular timeline, right? And I'm saying it's time to just get over ourselves. Now everybody say, I'm getting over myself. I am getting over myself, okay? Me too. Because I'm going to take you up on this whole claim that we say, I want all of God that I can get. How many people are at a point in their life that say, I want all of God that I can get? Oh, I want more, man. So I say this, let's unzip our lips and pop the lid off the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? Amen. I say it's time to let him just rip through you and blow off the intellectual barriers of our minds sometimes. And let his power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow through us so we are empowered to reach lost, broken, hurting people around us. And how about our families and our neighbors? All those people we're praying for. God, send laborers. He said, I'm sending you. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, right? Because if we keep the lid on God in our life, we become another dry, powerless, religious institution. And the world's chock full of them. And that's why people have left church in droves. Because, you know, we're just another do-gooder society. Oh, I don't want to be one of those. I want character, obviously. I want to reflect Jesus in my character and how I interact with people, but I want his power. I want the flow of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to look different than the rest of the world. Amen? They're not going to come to church with you unless you look different than the world. And the power of the Holy Spirit causes change in our life if we let him, because we know this, we can box him. Sometimes we'll get in a conversation and the Lord's checking you in your spirit and he's saying, hey, now it's time to be quiet. And we can just shove him down. No, I want to talk about this. This is juicy. We can override Holy Spirit in our life. All right, so real quick review. When exactly are we spirit-filled? Okay, so there are two separate experiences. Sometimes they happen back to back. Okay, but we talked in particular, you can study it in Acts chapter 8. But there's two separate experiences. One, okay, get this. We receive a portion. This is my portion, okay? A portion of the Holy Spirit at salvation, right? So the Spirit of Christ Jesus comes and lives within us. So Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he died on the cross and is alive again, and you give your life to him. When you say that out loud, it's important to say it out loud, right? It's not real until you say it. Then the Holy Spirit comes in. Oh, and we are changed. Our spirit is completely renewed. I become a child of God. Holy Spirit in me. And the natural symbol of this whole encounter, salvation, is through water baptism. Water baptism is just a natural representation of what God did in our life. Okay. So there's this separate thing we're going to talk about today called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And study out Acts chapter 8. Actually, go listen to the message. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, how do I say this? It is called letting God out of the box in your life. It is saying this. He says, hey, Lord, I know that you're in me, but I want all of you that I can get, and I want you to fill every nook and cranny of my life. Yes, the dark, cruddy corners of our life and character, because he will flush it out, let me tell you. Okay, so Acts chapter 1, 4 through 5, Jesus, strong words, commanded. My mom, I love her. She is an authority in my life, not only as a spiritual authority, as my pastor, she's also my mama. And how many knows life is better when you do what your mama says, okay? When it honors God, right? All right. So when my mama commands me to not pour stuff all over the carpet, yes, ma'am, right? Yes, ma'am. Because I got commanded, I submit to her spiritual authority. I could choose to not, right? But it goes better when I do what mama says, all right? So Jesus says, Simon says, Jesus says, Acts chapter 1, 4 through 5, Jesus commanded, strong words, them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Holy Spirit had promised, of which you have heard from me speak. For John baptized with water, but not many days from now, you shall be baptized with, placed in, and introduced to the Holy Spirit. All right, so how many people love pickles? I only like the dill pickles. I'm a little picky here. All right, so how many people have made pickles? I'm not that cool yet. I got a book, and then I decided that was way too much work for me, so I'm going to go to Aldi's and get them for cheap. All right, so the word baptize in the Greek comes from this word that means to immerse to the point of stain or dye. When you put a cucumber in the little pickling solution, is it ever a cucumber ever again? No, it is immersed and stained and dyed and becomes way better. I'm telling you, pickles taste better than cucumbers, okay? Tadai is really big right now. Once you get immersed in the Holy Spirit, there is change, visible change in our lives. Tastes different too. Things come out of our mouth a little bit different. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told his disciples as he departed, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled. Everybody say filled. Filled. With power, the Amplified Bible says, ability, efficiency, and might. I need more power. I need more ability. I need more efficiency in my life. And I need more might in my life, more strength. And you will be my witnesses for me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So what does that mean? That says, let's put it in context right now. You will be given the power and the strength to not only be a witness in your own home, not only be a witness in the workplace, not only be a witness at your church and in your neighborhood, in York County, Pennsylvania, United States, but the whole world. So he gives you, he gives you that power to do things that we can't do on our own natural ability. How many people, when we're in worship, remember when I said God's releasing some pictures in your life? You're going to see yourself doing things you've never done before. God will start tugging on your heart to do things that you can't do on your own strength. Why? Because then you need him and he gets the glory. Because if you can do it on your own, who gets glorified? I'm so awesome. We look at the stage and we go, God, you be glorified. Thank you. Thank you for putting, I like look at this and this glorifies God because I could not do this. So God sent a team. Praise God for that team. Harrison, Bretton, Shane, Nevin, tons of other people. Thank you for the team. And they, I know, looked at that project and went, okay, God, we're going to need you. And God gets glorified. Amen. By the way, in the Old Testament, Holy Spirit would come upon people for creative things, for building things. Hey, you creative artists and musicians, this is a season we need you. Because there's a generation that is so open to the arts and music for God to reach them. We need you. Amen. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Jesus said to his disciples, I will send forth upon you what my Father has promised, but remain in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. The disciples were not clothed with power until the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And we know that because there were some big changes. There was something very, very different that happened. Go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. So the Bible records the infilling of the Holy Spirit, where witnesses, people that were watching, saw something change. There was visible change. There was something different that happened, and it caught all the attention of the church. It caught the attention of the entire world around the church. And they heard evidence of tongues. One of the things, there are many things that started moving and shaking. We're going to talk a lot about prophetic words, how to hear from God, signs, wonders, miracles, healings. Keep coming. But we're going to start today with just tongues. So Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. There was a spirit of unity. I could preach on this for 45 minutes. You want to see God move in power in your home? You want to see God move in power in this church? On the teams of this church? There better be a spirit of unity going on. And that will cause a humbling. We're going to get real good about apologizing for things. Why? Because God be glorified. I don't need pride. I don't need to be right. I would rather just be in God than be right. You want to see the power of God move? It is time to, number one, ask for some forgiveness and just shut the devil's mouth in the area of division and offense. Critical spirit will suck the joy, love, peace, power out of a room faster than anything in the world. Offense. You want to shut down a move of God? Get in the fence. And you know what? It's every day. How many people had a chance to be offended this week? I did. How about even today? Man, I'll tell you, we wake up in the morning, we get out of bed, and an opportunity to be offended. Welcome to family life. Hits you in the face. We want a God move and power. We're going to have to release these things. Amen? So there was a spirit of unity and prayer. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house. It felt like a hurricane in the upper room apartment. Okay. And they were, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then what looked like flames and tongues of fire settled on each of them. What looked like, it wasn't an actual hanging over their head. Okay. It looked like, it had the appearance of. It was like when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, it had the appearance of a dove, right? Wasn't an actual dove, like a metaphor. Okay. So what does this fire represent? Fire represents in the Bible the manifest presence of God. It's when God gets so real and so thick in a room, it burns right through you. And we experience a greater degree of God's manifest presence. I'm going to be talking about it in weeks to come, maybe months to come. You want to know, sometimes when we pray for people, our hands start to feel hot. It's just the tangible manifest presence of God. Okay? So in verse 4, Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, everyone present was filled, the Amplified Bible says, diffused through their souls with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in another different foreign language. It's really good to read in other translations. How many people love reading in other translations? How many people are bilingual or have studied another language? Did you know when you translate something from Greek and Hebrew to modern English, it's hard to find one word that captures it all. So that what I love about the Amplified Bible is it'll take the top couple translations and put them in there so you get kind of more of a technicolor picture. It's like reading in HD. Okay, so when we read the Amplified Bible, it says, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit, different foreign languages and tongues. And as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expressions in each tongue in appropriate words. All right, so what happened was this. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament just came upon you for a temporary, you know, thing going on there. And only a couple people. New Testament, Jesus, they actually say this in the book of Acts that says the disciples turned the world upside down, right? Jesus came, turned the world upside down. And the Holy Spirit came upon them to the point of overflowing, satiating, to the point of excess, overflowing in people around them, and the world around them started getting wet. Okay? So the infilling of the Holy Spirit, this word infilling in the Greek actually means to satiate, to, it's like sticking a sponge in something and get it and pulling the sponge out and get so dripping wet. You ever take a sponge, you put it in the sink and then you carry it over to wipe something out and it just drips water. Kids do this all over. Yeah, mom, I'll clean up. And then it just made a bigger mess, right? To soak up so much of the Holy Spirit that he overflows and gets wet around you. It means to supply in excess, overflowed out of. So the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit is tongues. Now, by the way, you don't have to, you know, you can keep your mouth shut. How many people like me have a hard time keeping their mouth shut? I look to the other people that didn't raise their hand because you make me a better person. Because when I look at you, you do less apologizing in life. So I'm trying to keep, you know, all right, so there's pros and cons. But anyway, back to the topic of tongues. You can choose to keep your mouth shut, okay? All right, but the initial evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, according to Scripture, is tongues. What is a tongue? A tongue is simply a language. So if I would say, William, my friend, what is your native tongue? What is your native language? He's like, why'd you pick on me? Fenty, right? Okay. So that is his native tongue. That is his native language. Samuel, my friend, what is your native tongue? What is your native language? Spanish. Okay. So a tongue is simply a language. So when people ask, what's your native tongue? What's your native language? Okay, so people follow me here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, Paul says, though I speak with tongues of men, earthly languages, right, which we just named two, and of angels, there is a heavenly language, the language of God. And we'll talk about this later, but Satan can't understand it. When he listens in, remember spies? I love spy movies. I love all things spies. I secretly want to be one. I might qualify to be a spy secretary one day, and I will still feel cool. But anyway, so spies, they listen in, and all Satan can hear when they listen in on the heavenly language is... Right? He don't know what you're saying. We'll talk about this more later. All right, so the heavenly language that Satan can't understand. All right, there is an outward sign and evidence of an infilling and overflowing of the Holy Spirit. You know the term, the proof's in the pudding? How many people love jelly donuts? I'm not a big donut fan. Like, I'm not into icing. I'm not about the outside stuff. That just is kind of like a cover-up. I like what's inside the donut. So give me a good little, like, strawberry jelly donut. Now, if you overfill that donut, I mean, it's in there. You know, it starts oozing out, right? And that's how you know you got a good one. Because let's be real, how many people, my old office would bring donuts every Friday, okay? And I would look and I'd see the jelly donut that was a little oozing out because there's nothing worse than one that was like half filled. All right, the proof's in the pudding. So when you get overfilled with that jelly and you give it a little bit of a squeeze in God, you find out what's in there. So when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we get so full, it starts to kind of ooze out a little bit. You get a little squeeze in God and it's going to come out in tongues. You have to choose. You can choose to do it. All right, so this is my favorite analogy. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, everyone knows Mama's sitting right here, so I might have to go over somewhere else. I know. Don't sit. This is where it pays to sit with Mama. Okay, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, right? And you are clothed, infused with power. The Bible says in 1 Timothy to stir up the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Shaken, not stirred. Stirred and shaken. I don't know. But the power is infused in here. You can choose to keep your mouth shut. You can choose. But I want all of God I can get. And life is way more fun when it's a little bit more messy. Right, people? So you can pop the lid off. And he overflows a little bit there. Okay. Seltzer water. I used to do this with a cheap version of clear soda, and then I got real smart realizing I just got sticky. So seltzer water. You're welcome. Now you don't have to shower tonight. All right. So we can choose to rip the lid off, the cap off. And the Holy Spirit is for everyone. Everyone who believes. Acts chapter 2, 38 through 39. Peter answered them. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness and the release from your sins. And you shall receive the gift. Gifts are good things. When someone says they have a gift for you, it's a good thing.
the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is to you and for you and your children and to all that are far away. All. Everybody say, all. All y'all. That's how we say in Oklahoma, 11 years. All y'all get the Holy Spirit. All right. So why do some people have such a negative connotation, point of reference with the Holy Spirit in tongues? Where'd that come from? Because God gives good gifts, right? He gives you a good thing. Well, because there have been abuses of the gifts of tongues in a public setting. And when someone abuses something, it becomes negative, okay? And in that negativity, we push it away. We pop Holy Spirit back in the box going, whoa, 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 if that's what that looks like, love you, Lord, but I think this whole like tongues things or other manifestation of the gifts, I don't know. I don't know about that. And honestly, I think I got to a point there at one time in my life. How many people kind of got to a point there where they saw some abuses and it pushed you away? I remember somebody laying their hands on me in the back of this church, and he put his hand so far on me. Everybody, people know the limbo. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. I mean, he is pushing, and I am literally at a 45-degree angle, and he's screaming in tongues over me, and I was like, whatever you're trying to give me, I'm good. We got it, because I'm going to get a chiropractor at the end of this. Okay, how many know the next time after that someone wants to lay hands on you and pray for you? I'm good. We're good. We're good. I'll go right to him. We're good. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. Yeah. All right. When there is an abuse of a gift and a power, when we get in the flesh, not the spirit. This is not my notes. Can we just go off the notes? We'll just, everybody say part two's next week, okay? Part two's next week. You want to read something about Moses. Children of Israel complaining in the desert. Moses was under the pressure of leadership. And he said, okay. They're like, we're thirsty, we're thirsty. How many people got kids? They're just a bunch of babies. And then I don't have time to teach it, but I'm going to, because why not, right? Because we're just going to do a series. So what happened is they're thirsty, and the Lord says, okay, Moses, strike the rock. Nothing more dramatic than getting to hit something when people are just complaining to you. Okay, so he hits the rock, water gushes out of the rock and pours everywhere. Let's go, I don't know, a decade later, I don't know the timeline, some years later, and they're still complaining and complaining. Rah, 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 rah. They can't do anything right. When you're a leader, you can't do anything right, man, I swear. Never good enough. And he's just had it up to here. And we're thirsty. We're thirsty, Moses. We're thirsty. And he's like, okay, God, what do you want to do? And God says, just speak to the rock. And Moses goes, boom, and he hits the rock instead. That just capped off his ministry. But you know what's so crazy is faith, and the water still gushed out. We got to be real careful that we don't want to minister. We don't need, don't have to have something in a showy way. Because sometimes God's going to say, I just want you to put your hand on their shoulder and say, Holy Spirit, we just release you. Healing power, flow, symptoms leave right now in Jesus' name. Might be something so simple. Maybe he'll even just say, just pray for him. Or maybe he'll have something you do, something dramatic. But we don't need the show, right? But if God says to do something strong, do it. Just be obedient. Amen? Okay, so that was like a page of something out of nowhere. So that was for somebody. All right, so the abuses of tongues. So Paul taught the most on the gifts of tongues and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the book of Corinthians. There's two books, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. If you do a study about the Corinthian church or the city of Corinth, how many people have been to Las Vegas? Or actually, you're not going to raise your hand because, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, baby. All right, so in Las Vegas, you know, there is kind of an atmosphere of that's where you go wild, that's where you let loose, you know, it's kind of an excuse. Right? So Corinth was the Las Vegas city of the Greek community. I mean, they were wild out there. If someone said they were from Vegas, it was like, whoa, I'm inviting them to the party. Okay? It also was considered an insult to a woman if you say, oh, you Corinthian! That's insulting to them. That means they were pretty loose. That means they were wild and loud and fleshy. So to Corinthicize someone was to corrupt them. That's how that term was used. So he is writing to a totally different subculture of the Greek community. All right, and in that, we had a brand new place that just heard about Jesus. We had tons of Baby Christians. Baby Christians, what do babies want? Want attention. You just want attention. Okay, they just wanted attention. They were really fleshed out. They were undisciplined, immature. They're just brand new to it all. But you know, there's a lot of grace when someone's brand new, right? They're figuring it out. So the church was filled with tons of drunks. They were getting drunk at communion. There's a reason why we got grape juice right now, okay? Because they just couldn't handle it. So they're like, pour me. I just want some more, Jesus. Okay, they were just being idiots, okay? So they're getting drunk at church. And then there's adultery going on in the church. And that's not even funny, right? And they thought it was okay to be in leadership and be doing some stuff with someone else's husband or wife. What? There were sexually promiscuous people kind of doing some stuff and being in leadership. Not so good. And they were self-promoters. They were making things all about them. Look at me, not Jesus, look at me. Okay, so what am I describing some spirit-filled churches today? Keep reading Corinthians. All right, so Paul, listen, he was correcting this because he loved them. How many parents you correct your kids when they're like, look at me, I'm doing something dumb? Because you love them. So he lovingly but strongly was correcting some of these bad practices within the church because they were causing division and confusion. People leave churches when someone's afraid to correct something. You know, I want a freedom of the Holy Spirit. I'm like so off the notes, we just don't care. It's okay. We want a freedom of the Holy Spirit, right? But we don't need fleshed out things that you're just making it about you and you want distract. You want people to look at you, right? And we're going to talk in the next couple weeks how to discern when it's God and when it's flesh and how to love someone in the midst of those things, right? But we're going to also lovingly correct, not shame, not guilt, but lovingly correct so we can do things better. All right. So this is why we need clear teaching, continual teaching of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit gives us the power to reach lost, broken, and hurting people. And you know, there's lost, broken, and hurting Christians out there too. But if and they want to see the power of the Holy Spirit. They want to see the reality of God. So we need Holy Spirit, we need these gifts, but we need to do things in decency and in order, right? Because if we throw the baby out with the bathwater and shove Holy Spirit in the closet like many churches today, if we do that, we don't have the power to reach the lost. And I'm praying for a lot of lost, broken people that I love in my life. So I need him. But we're going to talk today, next week now, about the proper time and place in your personal life and also in a church service. So there are four different types of tongues. One, two, three, four. Four different types of tongues. Two are for public use. Public, like this is a gathering, a large group of people. Or, you know, out in the streets. Did you know public is not just in your church? Okay. All right. There are two for public use. And there are two for private use. I'm going to start out with the public ones today and pray we get to the private ones. So the first one, the number one, just write down number one, the public use of tongues as a sign to unbelievers. So to non-Christians. All right, so Mark chapter 16, verse 17 says, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will speak with new languages. The Holy Spirit transcends our intellect and our understanding and will give you the ability to speak in another language of this earth. So we talked about, you know, there were some different language represented. So languages that people speak in other countries or other regional dialects, right? All right, so Acts chapter 2, 5 through 6, and verse 11. This is the day of Pentecost, which we talked about last week. On the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit comes. We just read that, okay? And God is moving, and they overflowed onto the streets. Because, you know, you just can't stay here. That's not God's will that you just stay in church and all your revivals are in church. You're supposed to take it out. So they overflow into the streets, and they see something very different. Something different is going on here. And what happens was, and first of all, they're full of joy. It said they thought they were drunk, but it was like 9 a.m., okay? So they were full of joy. They're laughing. And they said, okay, they're not drunk. It's too early. And they're just laughing and giggling, okay? But they started listening to what they were doing. They were speaking in other tongues, okay? So something you need to know, Acts chapter 2, 5 says this, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the Washington, D.C. of the Middle East. And there were nationalities from all over being represented there. So the Lord moved in this particular type of tongue for a reason. It says, verse 6, when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. And they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by believers. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. So it'll be like someone, my brother-in-law is Chinese. Now he's an American citizen. His parents came over and he's more American than half of us. I'll tell you sometimes. Like, it's just like, by the way, he did his Christmas tree in red, white, and blue. Like, he just, my brother-in-law is amazing. So it would be like a Chinese man speaking a perfect Swedish language in a regional dialect. And, you know, because, like, you know, the southern accent, or anybody been down in Baton Rouge, they talk differently than we do in York, Pennsylvania. So it'll be like somebody walking through and seeing someone that's Chinese speaking perfect Swedish in that regional dialect. And they start, you don't look like you're from where I'm from. You don't look like you're from where I'm from, but you speak perfectly about where I'm from. So I'm going to start listening. You start eavesdropping. And then they go, wow, they're telling people about Jesus. Did you know also sometimes they can start prophetically prophesying mysteries? You might tell them your grandma's in the hospital right now, and Jesus came and he set her free, and she is being healed right now, and you don't even know what you're doing because you're just praying in other tongues. Okay, so this one is a sign and a wonder to unbelievers, to lost people, that they hear something in their native language, all right? The purpose of signs and wonders is a dinner bell to the lost. My mom had a dinner bell in the back of our house because we had this big old open yard and we were all playing in the cornfield, and she would ring that thing, dinner's here. So when you operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it rings a bell saying, God's here. God's here, and he's different than all them other false gods. Something very real and powerful and full of love is going on here. So when the day of Pentecost happened, Peter, who used to be a coward, you guys remember when Peter denied Jesus three times to like some little teen girl, you know, so all of a sudden Peter changes and he becomes empowered with great boldness. 3,000 people give their lives to Jesus and are baptized. So when we start moving in these gifts, he supercharges us, catches the attention. What is the purpose of this particular one kind of tongues, which is a sign to an unbeliever? The purpose of it is to draw unbelievers' attention, not to you, but to God. We don't get the glory, God does. Amen? It unifies people, brings them together to have a meeting with God. We will see this gift, where's Tammy? Tammy might be teaching downstairs. When people go on a mission field, oh, there's Tammy. Okay, so when they go into a mission field, like Tammy, I know there's so many dialects in Africa, probably in your own region. So if Tammy is ministering to someone and telling them about Jesus, and I know she's learning the language, but like again, that's hard to translate the gospel. So she's trying to tell them about Jesus, trying to tell them about Holy Spirit, trying to pray for healing, and she's hitting a language barrier. And she gets stirred with this unction of the Holy Spirit. I just need to pray. I'm kind of like out of my element in this moment. And she starts praying in tongues. And all of a sudden that person goes, what? And they start, and they hear the gospel preach perfectly clear. Or maybe you tell them a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, a mystery about their life, and goes, whoa, God is real, and he really sees me, and he really cares about me. And they give their life to Jesus. So that's a really good context. You might be on the streets of York, and God just draws you with deep compassion to someone else. Holy Spirit will lead you with deep compassion. And you start a conversation, you realize they don't speak your language. So in that moment, you pray in the Holy Spirit. Now you don't just go up to every person that doesn't speak your language and just go, blah, 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 blah. They're going to think you're nuts. Only when you feel stirred by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to teach on how you'll hear that. But if you do, and then all of a sudden they perfectly hear. All right. So the second one is the public ministry of tongues and interpretation. So these tongues are a heavenly language, not spoken on earth. This is the language of angels, right? This is the language of God. And because people don't know what you're talking about, if you do it in public setting like this, it needs to be interpreted. This is where a lot of abuses have come, because people just shouting out all these, blah, 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 and people are like, y'all crazy. We're going to talk about that, okay? So an interpretation is not a word-for-word translation. I took Spanish. I took 4 years of Spanish. I wish I had the gift, but I can get little pieces. So my favorite thing was when you didn't have to do a word-for-word translation, I got to do an interpretation. So I'd read a paragraph in Spanish and I'd summarize it in one sentence. So if someone gives a long tongue and they give the interpretation, it could be very short because it just conveys the heart of God. So if someone is moving in the public gift, The interpretation will come and it will flow naturally with your service. It will flow with worship. It will not disrupt. So if you sit close to me, you'll probably hear during worship, I'm not singing the words probably for half the service. I am praying in the Spirit. I just try not to be loud. I try not to distract anyone, but you'll see my lips moving and you'll notice they don't match those words. I am asking, Holy Spirit, what do you want to speak today to our people? What do you want to speak to this church? And I'll be praying in the Spirit, and I will take a leap of faith. Now, I've learned when you're not teaching on this all the time, if you grab a microphone in the middle of worship and go give a tongue, people, they don't know what you're doing, and it's going to cause confusion. It's going to take away. But if you teach on it continually, it's okay. So what I will do is I will pray in the Holy Spirit, and then I'll get up here and pop the microphone up, and I will take a step of faith with a word. I normally hear just a word or a sentence. And I'll go until I just feel like Holy Spirit's done. So that's how I move in that gift. Trying to think here. So it's the purpose is to unify the church and build up and encourage and strengthen the church. If you give a word, an interpretation that is not for everyone, you're in the wrong place. That was just for you. Did you know God's talking to you too? So just because you hear something, you need to go, God, is this for me? Or is this for everybody? Because if it's for you, it's going to cause some confusion. So it's really good to practice this gift at your home and your personal time. Practice it at a grow group. Let's see, Bob and Dolores, but raise your hand if you have a grow group at your house. Yeah, I know there's grow group leaders. This is a really great to practice these things. They're trusted, incredible leaders that know these gifts. And you have to ask them, hey, you know, in the midst of prayer time, you could practice these things. Okay. My dad was really good about using the gift of discernment. You'll know if someone is giving a tongue that's really for them or they just want attention, because on the inside you will hear this scratching, like distraction. You'll know. It's not judging. It's not being critical. It's using discernment. Okay. And my dad, when someone would do those things and they were in the wrong spirit, he would lovingly correct them. And he would just say, thank you, that actually was a private message from you. Or this isn't the time and the place for that. He would say it in love because he really wanted to protect his people. And he wanted to protect lost people and people that had just come in. There's a time and a place for everything, okay? It will never disrupt the flow of the service. It'll never disrupt worship. It's not going to feel like breaks and squealing and screeching on the inside. It will actually confirm and flow. It'll actually confirm with what God's speaking up here. It'll confirm with what God's speaking in the message or going to speak in the message. It will confirm. It will bring glory to God. It will not put attention on you when it's done in the right way. It's not orchestrated. It's not pushed. You don't make it happen. I remember when I was a kid and there was a particular person that every week they tried to give a tongue. Every week it was Mr. So-and-so. And I knew even as a kid, I'm like, really? Here we go again. And my dad would lovingly talk to him until we kind of realized that he just really wanted attention. All right. So you're going to get gut checked and you're going to know when it's not it. But we do have to lovingly correct these things. And you have to continually speak on these things, because 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 39 through 40 says this, earnestly desire to prophesy. We're going to talk about this in the future. Prophecy, when you do tongues plus interpretation will equal prophecy. Or you can just go ahead and speak it in English. All right. It says, I lost my place here. Don't forbid the speaking in tongues, but be sure that everything is done properly and in order. So if someone will be stirred and does a public declaration of tongues, it has to be interpreted. Otherwise, it will cause confusion and do a lot of damage. 1 Corinthians 14, 12 through 13 says this, since you are so eager to have the special abilities that the Spirit gives, seek those things that will strengthen the whole church. Not just a message for you, whole church. So anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray also for the ability to interpret what has been said. Because without the interpretation, you can't edify, build up, encourage, and strengthen the whole church. I'm going to talk next week about tongues in your personal life and how to interpret your own tongues, how to hear from God for you. We'll talk about that next week, because guess what? We won't have time this week. So not everyone who operates in tongues has a public ministry. All right, obviously, anyone can teach someone else, right? You know, you can teach someone one-on-one about God. You can teach someone one-on-one about the Holy Spirit. You can teach someone in a small group of people, like in a grow group. There's different types of teaching gifts, right? There's also this big pulpit one, which says someone that's really good about speaking in front of 200 to 1,000 people. Did you know I can sing? My range is like this big. I sang choir like for 4 years, and I can carry a tune if it's in this range. I am not called to the public ministry of worship leading. That is not my gift. And I'll tell you, when you stay in your lane, you don't mess other people up. You ever ran track? If you get out in someone else's lane, not only are you going to trip yourself up, you're going to trip them out. You could ruin the entire race. So we're not supposed to be jealous of these things. We are to celebrate the worship leaders. We're to celebrate people that have a public prophetic calling. We're to celebrate apostles. We're just to celebrate them. Thank God they're in my family. I got lots of talent in my family. Stay in your lane. Right? So the same thing with the public pulpit ministry of tongues. It's not everyone can pray in tongues, but not everyone will be called to do it in the pulpit in front of 1,000 people. Got you? That's why I'm not up there every Sunday. Thank God. Everybody's like, thank God. You know, I will get a spiritual song on occasion, and I'm just going to try to pitch it to them. But you notice it's not every week. It's on occasion, okay? Not everyone that is gifted in these particular things, once again, are called to operate in the public pulpit ministry. So 1 Corinthians 12:28 through 30 says this. Paul speaks of public ministry gifts. So it's people that are called to do it in large groups of people, right? Get on that microphone. God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, the gift of miracles. After that, the gift of healing. After that, the gift of helps and administrations, variety of tongues. And Paul goes this. Are all apostles? Is everybody an apostle? No. He said, are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. For public, in front of everybody, to lead a meeting or so forth. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? So the answer is this. Not everybody, once again, will operate as a large group of people over churches, as an apostle, as a teacher, and all these different things. It's also talking about tongues. So the public office gifts are given as the Holy Spirit wills, and you can't force it. You can't make it happen. You're not going to go stand up in front of everybody and go, I am an apostle to the nations. I am the prophet of YCF. Listen, your gift will make a way for you. Am I right? Just be who you're called to be. Just be who you're called to be. Don't worry about your label. We used to make fun of people at Bible school because right before graduation, they get business cards made and be like, hello, my name's so-and-so to so-and-so, prophet to the nations, have me at your church. You're like, are you kidding me? Just go serve, scrub toilets. My first week over here, we had flooding and I was shoveling rock. that is ministry. Ask people, I do really good plunging toilets too, okay? So listen, your gift will make a way for you. Just lay your life down. Servant leaders, just serve. Don't worry about someone throwing you up on stage. Just be who you're called to be, operate in the gifts you're called to, and if it's supposed to be in a public, your gift will make a way for you. Amen? 1 Corinthians 12:10-11, and we're going to wrap up. Another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, different kinds of tongues, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said, the interpretation of tongues. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts, and he alone decides what gifts each person should have. Don't be jealous, just stay in your lane. Just say, God, I want all of you that I can get. It says to desire to pray in tongues. It says to desire to prophesy. The Bible does say that every person can prophesy and pray in tongues. So let's get all he has for us. If you're called to do it in front of large groups of people, praise God. Man, we need more people. Praise God. All right. Paul also describes how the public ministry gifts will flow together in a healthy church. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14:26-28 says, when you meet together, one will sing. Another will teach. Another will tell someone a special revelation from God. One will speak in tongues. Another will interpret what is said. You don't always have to pray your tongue in front of the microphone, but you can, right? So we're going to have a flow of these gifts. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. Whatever we're saying on this microphone, whatever you're speaking loudly to everyone else is to strengthen everyone. If it's only supposed to be for one person, just go right up to that one person. Okay? It says, no more than two or three should speak in tongues. They must speak one at a time, and someone must interpret what is said. So if there is a word from God for the whole church, two or three people max are going to get that tongue and that interpretation. And there's a reason why. 1 Corinthians 14, 22 through 23 says this. So you see that speaking in tongues, we're talking about the first type, is a supernatural sign for believers. But for unbelievers, the Amplified Bible says, while prophecy, which is inspired preaching and teaching and interpreting the divine will and purpose, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. We're going to talk about this next week. Public tongues plus and a public interpretation will equal a public prophecy, because you're going to understand what God's trying to speak. So verse 23, I'm going to end on this. If the whole church assembles together and all are speaking in other languages and people are uninformed, uneducated Christians. I like the Amplified Bible on this. If you're uninformed, you can be a Christian, but you've never been taught clearly on tongues. Some churches say it's from the devil. They say if you operate in the gift of healing, God, Jesus wants you sick. I'm like, pretty sure he doesn't, but some churches will teach you that, okay? We got to teach on healing. How many people went to a church where they told you God put cancer on you to teach you a lesson? Not my God. I don't know what God that is, okay? All right, so it says, if you are uninformed and uneducated, or there are unbelievers, non-Christians that came in, they will say that you are out of your mind. Quote, if people walk into a church service and everybody is loudly, I can play real tongues, but I don't want to be sacrilegious, okay? And they're doing that. They're going to say, whoa, whoa, check, please. I'm out. Peace. And they ain't never coming back. So that's why Bible says one or two people and it must be interpreted. Okay? Now there is a private place to pray in tongues where it's not distracting towards other people. We're going to talk about that next week. Okay. So if the whole church is loudly shouting in tongues, it's going to look like a crazy circus. I've been back in the day. I went to a university and the president was under duress financially and he stopped all of our classes and he said, we are all meeting in this room. And we got there and we're like, okay, what's going on? Like, is there a bomb threat? This is pretty close to 9/11. So we're thinking there's terrorists. Okay. And the president of the university stands up and goes, I need everybody to pray in tongues right now. And we're like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And those that knew about it and have been taught, but we had people from other denominations that went to our church that didn't believe in these things. And he just made everybody pray in tongues really loud for like 30 minutes. It was super weird and confusing and did a lot of damage. And then he said, because we need such and such money to come in. That was not the time and that was not the place for tongues. It actually did damage. It caused people to totally shut down. Because actually in the Bible, it says, unless you've been really teaching on it, unless people are really walking with God, you're going to look like Crazy Town. And people leave Crazy Town because it's not cute. It's not entertaining. It's like super weird. And that's why a lot of people have left the spirit-filled churches. How many people know someone besides myself? Because I literally kind of pushed it away for a while because I saw so many Crazy Town abuses that I was like, I didn't feel safe to bring my friends. Being honest, anybody felt not safe to bring a friend or a loved one or a family member to a church because they've seen a lot of abuses happen? Well, it says right there, we're not supposed to all be shouting out. One or two people, an interpretation, something that encourages, builds up, strengthens the entire church. Okay. So we're going to end on this thought. It is not worth the cost of a salvation or a lost person. And in conclusion, so we have to continually teach on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the time and the place for them. 1 Corinthians 14, 28. Worship team can come up forward and grow group leaders, if you don't mind coming up forward. If you're a grow group leader, we're going to open up the altars here. I literally have gotten halfway through my message, so come back next week. We have lots to say. Okay, it says 1 Corinthians 14, verse 28. And youth leaders can come on forward too. You can pair up two by two. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in church and speak to himself and to God. Doesn't mean you can't pray in tongues at church. It just says keep it to yourself. Keep it in a quiet manner so it's not distracting towards other people because it is to build you up, okay? And the New Living Translation says speak in tongues to God privately. Next week, we're going to talk about the two ways that God uses tongues privately, which every single person in this room can do. And I wish I had time because I'm telling you, it makes you really, really want this thing. You can write in your notes. We'll cover it next week. But private tongues for intercession to help other people. And I'm going to give you probably four kind of make you cry stories about how God called me to pray in other tongues that I didn't know why. And it actually stopped someone from hurting themselves. Not me, Holy Spirit. Someone else, there was a car, almost a car accident. another person, they were hanging out with someone, bad intentions. And all of a sudden I had an urgency to pray. I didn't know what to pray. So I prayed in tongues to myself privately until that urgency lifted. And then the Lord either showed me what it was, or I knew the person, I called them and I found out the situation. Really powerful stories. We need the gift of tongues. It will literally save lives. It will cause meetings with God. It'll cause people to come to Jesus that have been running from God for 30 years. Another one, a private gift of tongues, is to build yourself up. So I don't know about you, and we're going to talk about it next week. We leak. The pressures of life. I'll tell you, the pressures of life are hard. And we may get filled when we read our Bible in the morning or go to church on Sunday. And we overflow and just life is hard and we start leaking. We start feeling drained. Other people can even drain you. And the Bible says this, says to stir yourself up in the most holy faith. It says in 1st and 2nd Timothy to pray the Holy Spirit, to stir yourself up, to build yourself up, to read the word, to pray, to sing unto the Lord. And the fastest way is to have someone lay hands on you, not dun 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 dun, dun. Not push you to the ground, but put their hand on your shoulder, grab their hand. You could put your hand there, but don't make it weird, okay? Weird people make Holy Spirit weird. He's extraordinary. There's nothing ordinary about him. But someone can pray with you and actually is a point of contact. When someone says that they care about you, it's different than when they hug you or they put their hand on your shoulder. It's a point of conduct. And the Bible says this, that when they pray for you, it will stir up the Holy Spirit within you. It'll cause a reawakening of gifts. Maybe God's called you to the gift of healing. Maybe God has called you to the gift of prophetic ministry. Maybe God has called you in all these different areas. Maybe he's called you as a missionary. And you're feeling dry and drained and weighed down. The Bible says you can pray in the Holy Spirit. It'll build you up. We'll talk about it next week. God will also reveal mysteries to you. I'm going to teach you how to hear mysteries of God's purposes and plans for your life. Divine appointments, strategic business plans. God is going to download you for your family, for your business, for what God has called you to do. So if you're feeling, number one, if you've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit, if you've never said, God, fill me up. I want all of you I can get. I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everybody just stand up because it's a little bit less awkward. Everybody just stand up. So if you've never had someone pray for you, the altars are open. If you could just come forward and find one of these leaders in the church, they're incredible. And the second one, if you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit, if you receive the infilling overflowing, and maybe you prayed in tongues, but it was a long time ago, and you're just kind of rusty, they will pray for you. Maybe you've never prayed in tongues, and you want to, come on forward. If you are feeling drained, dry, and the reality of God, and God feels really distant in your life, the Bible says this in Ephesians, he said, be being filled. Ephesians said, be being constantly overflowing, filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in 1st and 2nd Timothy, when someone puts their hand on your shoulder, prays for you. It will stir up these gifts within. Let's not let these things like a fire go dormant because they're just embers inside of you. Many of us are just keeping him in the box and are content with the box, but hopefully after I preach for the next couple weeks, you're going to say, I want all of you I can get. There is no pressure, but the altars are open. So we're going to say this, if you just raise your hands. And if this is your heart's cry, you can repeat after me, but if not, it's okay. Holy Spirit, we just release you over every person in this room. Holy Spirit, I want all of you that I can be. Fill me up. Fill me up to a point of overflowing. I want to be used by you. Fill me with your power, your strength. I desire these. We receive everything by faith, and it will take a step of faith to activate them. So if you've never spoken in other tongues, I'll tell you what, it's like two people that walk into the river of the Holy Spirit, and one chooses just to kick back, kick their legs up, and just float and go with the current. That's what it's like to go with tongues. You just let go, and you float wherever the Spirit takes you. Another person gets in the river, and lets the river flow around them. Both of them are in the river of the Holy Spirit. And don't you let anyone tell you that you're a second-rate Christian. There's people that condemn people for not praying in tongues. That's guilt, shame, and condemnation comes from hell. See? Don't let anyone ever make that we have the opportunity to purchase too. So if you're in the river, praise God we're on the river. But the altars are open to open up these gifts. In Jesus' name. So as Nevin sings a song, after the song is over, we'll